Father, thank you. Thank you for drawing us to you, Lord. Thank you for awakening us to your presence. Thank you for you honor, God. Faith. Faith. You love the gathering of your people in the place of unity of your people, God. You release your blessings. You command your blessings. You delight in your people. Father, thank you. Thank you. Father, we ask, oh God, Holy Spirit, that you will speak to us in the language we understand. You are the preacher, the teacher. You are the comforter, the one who manifests truth, understanding, the one who guides and leads us. Your word is prophetic. It brings transformation, edification, and transfer. Thank you, Father. Be glorified, O Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. There were two brothers born by the same parents, and both of them grew up together. They were twins, and one of them, for some reason, just didn't want to study anything. He just delighted in doing things with his hands. Amen? But the other one had a desire to study. And he reads a lot and ended up in college. And he graduated, became a lawyer. Amen? And the other one became what we call a mechanic. Mechanic that fixes cars. He just likes to fix things himself. Amen? Both of them, one was able to exercise himself in the area that he had desire, passion. But he did something. He exercised himself. And he became a mechanic. He could fix cars. You know, he didn't really go to school. He just learned the trade and fixed cars, worked with his hands. But he was not educated. But the other one was highly educated. He became a lawyer. Amen? So, when the brother that is a mechanic had problems with people who could not pay him, and they took him to court, the brother that is a lawyer was able to help him win the case. Amen? When the brother that is a lawyer, his car broke down, the brother as a mechanic was able to fix his car. That's a win-win situation. Everybody say, amen. 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 But the wisdom there is that they had to do something. One had to do something to become a mechanic. The other one had to do something to become a lawyer. Amen? The Lord wants to show us something this morning. And Another thing I want to share with you is, no matter what your theory is, no matter what you believe, the human mind is never empty. Charity just came with her new baby. How many years old now? How many? 2.5 weeks. I want to let you know, from the womb, that baby has brain, has mind. From the time this baby came into this world, his mind came completely zero with what this place looks like. But from that day one that he came into this world, something is registering there. Nobody here can say, I don't want to think about this, I don't want to think about that. Whether you like it or not, your mind is exercising and something is going in there. The reason why somebody can choose to be a mechanic or become a lawyer is the discipline of controlling, the discipline of allowing what they want in there to become what they want to be. If you leave your mind empty, something will take over and you cannot control it. So the word discipline is the word for discipleship. And the word discipline and discipleship is nothing but the word exercise or practice. Amen? Amen. Let me tell you another situation. There was two girls, they were twins. And they happened to be adopted by different parents growing up when they were little kids. One was adopted by the parents in a black neighborhood. Another one was adopted by parents in a white neighborhood. Amen? When they grew up, when they met each other, the one that was adopted by the white neighborhood he didn't know how to live with black people. And the one that was adopted by black people didn't know how to live with white people. And she was white. In other words, what you feed your mind is how you think. Amen? And as a man thinketh, so he is. So when you leave your mind empty or without discipline, without exercise, without intentional purpose, something is going in there and you have to fight. If that thing happens to be the wrong thing, fight to overcome it. So this morning, as I was praying, I'm waiting on the Lord through the week. The Lord spoke just one word to my spirit. And when he spoke that word, he started showing me what to share with you today. I know the days are far, they're going so fast. And we don't come with notepads anymore. We have our iPads. We don't come with things to write. But our mind, as good as it is, we can't retain everything and quickly go out there if we don't put it down and remember everything. So it's important for us to rethink our desire to be disciplined and to be raised in the things of God. God can speak to you right now. Hopefully you're the type that can type down and put it on your notebook, on your phone, but we need to be writing things down. Many of the things I stand on today, I had to journal when the Lord was speaking to me. And I believe what I want to share with you is one of those things you need to remember. There are three major things that God revealed to Paul about the position of the church as a school or as a spiritual university, as a spiritual college. He says in this college, they are what we'll call professors or professionals. They are different giftings God has given to the body to be able to train and educate or empower people in the schools. There were five of them he mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4, but in 1 Corinthians, he mentioned more areas that can be used in the school. So you must have heard about the word apostles, prophets, teachers, all these. Three things that the gifts in the church is supposed to help us graduate from. And the first one is for the perfecting or the maturity of believers. When a child is born physically, there's a time it comes, it's called an adult. Spiritually so, when we are born again, there has to be a time when we are spiritually matured. That's one. That you can break that down into so many subjects. Number two is for the work of the ministry. W-O-R-K of the ministry. Every matured believer begins to work for the kingdom. Whether you're a lawyer, whether you're a doctor, you, everything you are, because of your understanding and your place of spiritual maturity, you begin to see yourself now as a kingdom person. And everything you do, your result, everything you do is intentional towards the building, the work of the ministry. Because you are now a citizen of heaven, but you are in the earth now to work for God. It doesn't matter your profession, but you gain that mindset. One is come to a place of maturity. Two is that maturity brings you to your purpose for God, working for the kingdom. Number three is to build, he said, to the edifying of the body of Christ. You become an instrument through which the local church, the universal church, you build the body. You become a kingdom builder. Whether with people, with any way, you become an influencer in a congregation. Wherever you are, you become a builder. No matter the capacity, in some way, you are building the body of Christ. Those three things can be broken down into subtitles. And that's what the gift is giving. Amen? Part of building the kingdom is also bringing souls. That's why I say you can break it down. Now, the first area of becoming matured believer is what I want to share a little bit with you today. Amen? When the children of Israel, they were in Egypt, they could not build the kingdom. They could not build their own nation. They couldn't build their own vision. They were literally everything they had, everything they were subject to, and the mindset they have developed was definitely just building the pyramids of Egypt. They built the world and the things about the world. So even today, until we mature as believers, everything we are, we're still Christians in the church, but our mindset is still programmed towards building the pyramids of this world and building the things of world. The Bible used a word, Jesus says, there is a day when your time expires in the flesh. We call it death, but you're not dead. It's just an expiration of your physical body. When it expires, the Bible says Jesus will come and say, welcome. Welcome into the kingdom, O good and faithful servant. Servant means you were serving him. Faithful means you were faithful to the purpose for which you were assigned while you were in this body. But then he looked at one other servant that took his gift and his ability and what he has and hid it and could not use it to multiply. And you all know what Jesus says. He didn't really serve God, but he still served the world. So I want to read a few scriptures and I will share with you what the Lord said to me. Amen. Amen. Let's open to the first scripture today from the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we'll read from chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, we have the greatest university ever. And this university has been all the way Genesis and all the way to the end. And the doctrines and the teachings and the trainings of this university never changes, never expires. Amen? It's still raising up great men today. So let's open to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says, From verse 24, we could have gone a little bit more, but lower, but from verse 24, it says, "Know you not that they which run in a race," R-A-C-E, "run all," that is, everybody runs in a race when they are called. But one received the prize. Paul says, "So run that you may obtain." Verse 25. "And every man that strives for the mastery," in other words, anyone that strives to be a champion, a winner, "is temperate, is disciplined in all things. Now, they do it to obtain worldly prize," meaning corruptible crowns. In other words, they do this just so they can win a worldly prize. Approval, worldly trophies, corruptible, meaning something that dies and passes away. "But we, an incorruptible crown, eternal crown, approval of God." Verse 26, "I therefore so run," Paul is saying, "not as unsuffingly," not just anyhow, just living anyhow. "So fight I, not as one that beats the air." So I'm not just wasting time. What's the purpose coming to church? Church. What's the intentional purpose I'm getting from this? Am I just wasting my time? If I'm giving, why am I giving? What is the reason for giving? If I'm fasting, if I'm reading the word, whatever I'm doing, am I just wasting time? What is the intentional reason for this exercise? God says, "I don't do things just for doing. I have a purpose in mind." So, "not as that beats the air," verse 27, "but I keep my flesh, I keep my body under, I discipline my body. I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself shall become a castaway." That's an apostle speaking. that is not taking this thing we call Christianity loosely. He runs with a mind to eventually have a crown. Now, it's not talking about what Christ has done. It's talking about the part we have to play. We have a part to play. God has done everything. His grace is available, but we have a part to play as humans. Amen? Now, I want to read another scripture to you. Let's open to the book of Hebrews. If you can please open to it, I want you to see it. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we'll read from verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers. Now, he might not be speaking to you, he's speaking to the church, to the body. But I received it for me, because there was something God was dealing with me about. And he's saying, you should be above this by now. And kind of woke me up. For the time you ought to be teachers, he says, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. He's saying to the children of Israel, he says, for when you ought to be teaching others, you are the people God opened up. You are the first fruits. You are the first people God called into this thing. You need somebody to teach you again. He's talking to the Jews. You need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat, solid meat. For everyone that useth milk, everyone that partakes of milk is unskillful, meaning is not grown, is not matured, like that baby or adolescents or young people. He's unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, a baby. Verse 14, but strong meat, solid meat, belongs to them that are of matured age. Even those who by reason of use, that word used there is the word practicing. Even by use of practicing or practice, have their senses, remember the stories I told you when we started, have their senses exercised or practiced or disciplined or discipled to discern both good and evil. Both good and evil. Let's pause here for a minute on the reading part and let's look at a few things together. Amen? Paul started by talking about, he started just like Jesus always does. Paul said, how can I reach this group of new believers in Corinthians? These are worldly people, completely aliens of the gospel. They received the gospel in masses. They got saved. They got born again. And for some reason, they were still one foot in the world, one foot in church. I mean, if you read the book of Corinthians, they were just spiritual today, tomorrow this. There were all kinds of things going on. Some of them, preachers will come, preach perversive word, extort money from them, manipulate them, they were just wrong with that, then Paul will come and say, no, I'm going to preach to you free of charge. I will not charge the gospel to you because I want to prove something to these people that are taking advantage of you. Then, 2 Corinthians, they say, okay, there's no need to charge us. But then they didn't understand giving is a principle of God. So Paul had to come to 2 Corinthians and say, no. Because I didn't charge you doesn't mean you are not to build a kingdom. You are not to exercise the grace of giving. And taught them again the principles of giving. So they will come here, they live in, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, Paul was teaching the whole body of Christ what happens when a flood of new believers come into the church. They are not just going to be automatically spiritual, super spiritual and matured overnight. They came out of the world, out of the worldly mindset, worldly ways, worldly things, worldly building, worldly passion. They got born again, like I shared with you last week. They had a lot to be trained. They had a lot to be taught. They had to be discipled. They had to be empowered. They had to be delivered. So Paul had to, in his generation, had to develop the curriculum for the spiritual school of his time. And that's what we call, we read today as the epistles of the gospel. So in this Corinthian church, he said, how can I explain to these people the power of the gospel? Because all through the world, remember the sports, what we call sports today, is not something new. There's always been sports all the way, but it was done in different ways. Even further after the days of Paul, after the days of the Roman Empire, the Greeks were known for the center of sports, Olympia. Sports. So Paul said, the language a lot of people understand, just like today, if you want to give a good illustration of areas, you can use Super Bowl, you can use baseball, you know, all these very people know it, soccer, all this stuff. So Paul, in those days, sports was a big thing. And he says, I think the best way to explain to them, this young and old believers, is to use the arena of sports. So he says, when you come to sports, especially the track part, the racing part, he says, everybody is called into that are called into sports, they come with one mind. They come to run to win. But not everybody wins. He's telling them the kingdom of God, a lot of people come, but not everybody make it to heaven. Everybody don't make it to heaven. There are requirements. You can't live anyhow, and then the cross is in vain. So he says Christianity, that's why Paul at the end of his story said, I don't want to run, teach, preach, and never make it. I'm the one preaching, I'm the one teaching. But he's saying, even myself, if I don't discipline myself based on the word of God, I will not make it. The kingdom of God requires some level of maturity. So he said, like sports, a lot of people are called for sports, and let me give you an example, and they come and, you know, they hit that thing. There's a particular day that they call all these various teams to the track. It's one day. And that day somebody stands with a whistle and it goes, blows the whistle and they take off, and one person wins. First, second, third prize. Paul is saying, they say day the whistle will be blown. And the time for you to give account will come. And then he went further. He says, I want to run this race, not as one who just beats the air, not as one who is not purposeful, is not intentional. I want to run this race well with the desire to win a crown. Then he said something the worldly race, the track race, it says they do certain things, they discipline their body, they discipline themselves to win a worldly trophy, a worldly crown. You see, but the discipline is talking about, and God is calling us as believers, is to win a heavenly, well done, good and faithful servant. So Paul says, for us to understand what he's saying, he says, let me again explain sports. Now, sports was big that time, so he didn't need to go into every detail. But let me share with you a few things, just to remind all of us that you don't come to that last day to run the track. It doesn't happen that way. Before you come to that, run that track, you have been doing something to qualify to run that track. How many of you know what it is? It's called what? It's called exercise. It's called practice. That's what he's saying in all it. Practice. Exercise. I have a friend of mine. They were doing, I've forgotten how many K race in Cleveland. He was trying to practice. And he was running. He would do a few, wake up in the morning, do a few running and stuff. He did very well. He thought he did well. And when they were going to do that running K, it was getting close to when they, I've forgotten how many kilometers they were going to run. That day, he wanted to, he's not been practicing very well, but because the time to run that long thing is getting close, a few days, he decided to run as many K as he can, and his muscles snapped. His muscles snapped. And then he couldn't even join the main race. You see, without practice, you cannot make this thing work just overnight. Let's start with weightlifters. Those who lift weights, some of you have lifted weights. I started doing it lately, amen? Those who lift weights, it doesn't matter how masculine you are, how great you are. When you lift your first few pounds, you find out that you just can't lift it. So, but you start small. You start with small pounds and you lift it. And then you take that small pounds and you try, after you lift it, you try to do as many ups, sideways, all this stuff. You do, you know, we have a coach here. So he'll be laughing at me, but I'm doing it. Amen? You do all the push-ups, you do all this stuff, isn't it? You start small. And then after you finish maybe a few pounds, you add another pounds to it. And you start the same thing. You start the same thing. You do the same thing. Then you lift it. All of a sudden, somebody will see you later. Your muscles are growing. Your body, your blood, your veins, everything has adjusted. Now, you see this guy goes down and just go, boom, lift this big 200 pounds. And you say, wow. It did not happen overnight. It took exercise, 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 exercise. What is exercise? Practice, practice. What is practice? Discipline. You cannot exercise regularly or practice for winning anything without discipline. There was something, it was a nerve or something in my back. Of course, you know, you grow up, you don't do exercise, and then you don't know. So I had this nerve or something. Whatever it is, it was really bothering me. And I couldn't sometimes lift my hands. There was a time I would just do like that. I couldn't lift my hands like that. It just hurts. I couldn't even lift the left hands. I couldn't take things from off the shelf. It was so hurting. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. It was one time the Lord says, do exercise. That's a physical need. everything is not healing. You need to discipline your body. You are in charge of it. It's like if you own a grass in your yard, I can't come and mow your grass. That's for you to do. So I started doing exercise. And honestly, that took care of it. My muscles were getting weak and things were getting, and I, very busy person, and I needed exercise. I thought I should rest. I rested still that. But when I started doing exercise, for some reason, everything balanced out. And I can move around, then when everything lined up, I have more energy, it's unbelievable what I learned from it. One time, some of you are aware of this, but the worst I ever experienced in soccer, amen? The worst I ever experienced in soccer without exercise was very disgraceful. I was the prefect for the food ministry in our college, in our school, and I was also overseeing approving the soccer team. So when they scheduled us to go play soccer with another school, because I know I like to play soccer, I know a little bit of soccer, but I've never practiced. I didn't practice. We were more busy in, school and stuff. Then they said, we need you to go with us to play. So I joined them. I didn't practice. I was a prefect, so they didn't care. So I joined them, and we went to play. That day, I was the back man, and before we got 15 minutes into the first half, I was breathing like I was going to die. I was looking for an excuse to tell them that they should come and take me out. But nobody took me out. So the guy from the other side would just dribble the people. When he got to me, I just fell like that. I could not even defend or do. And I was glad I fell because I just stayed there. I was about to faint. I wasn't caring about goal or anything. So they were saying, go get him out, stay there. They literally had to come and carry me out. That was in school. Some of you can see this small part of it when we have our 4th of July picnic. Before we do try, I'm drinking so much water, and then it's over. Amen? Why am I saying that? It doesn't matter how gifted you are. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Without exercise and practice, you will not attain the excellence that is needed there. Paul says, stir up the gifts that is in you. Exercise, practice, step out, take the first step, learn, practice, experience the falls, the lows, the mountains, take the next step. Some of us wants to just jump out and be prophetic and be this and be that without taking the first step and making mistakes and learning. So Paul was saying Christianity needs for us to exercise the things that we are being taught, the things we are learning. Apart from sports, there are other areas of exercise. You see, the people in sports, they all have to take days, months. Early in the morning, you see them running around the city. Early in the morning, you're sleeping, they are running. When you go, you see them in the gym practicing. You see them, they are constantly practicing. They are running 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles. You see them doing this, doing all the push-ups, doing all this stuff. Super exercise, discipline, practicing. Why? They want to win an Olympic. They want to get that medal. They want to win the first position. And Paul says, look at the efforts. Look at the discipline. Look at the pursuit. Look at all they do just to win. Somebody says, you won the gold medal. That they gave all their life for that. All in practice. They don't eat certain food. You can't even make them eat it. They can't drink certain things. You can't make them drink it because they are focused.
They are intentional. They are purpose driven. And they win. School. You go into a college with zero, you know, what you're going to be taught, but you're intentional, you're focused. I'm coming out on the other side with a degree. And what does that degree makes you? It empowers you to start working, to start being an influencer, to start making a difference. Why? 4 years of practice, 4 years of discipline. You go to class, you go to do exams, you are paying for it, you are completely in school with discipline. Paul mentioned that. There are other areas, we call them disciplines, because of lifestyle or practice. Amen? But why is the race? Paul, why was Paul more intentional about track? Because this body, you cannot fool it. You cannot cheat it when it comes to race. I promise you now, let me ask Mike Jones to step out here and run really fast to this place. He's going to fall here by the time he gets here. You have to call the ambulance. Amen? Mike, I don't know if we're on the same page. Ask me to run to that place. Ryan has to catch me. Because you can't cheat this. You can't make it pass an exam when you have not practiced. But when you practice, find who does track here. Get somebody that practices. They will run around this place 12 times and sit down and not feel anything. Practice. Amen? So, Paul is saying, we live in a world that is full of temptations. It's full of trials. It's full of things that can trip your faith, trip your ability to be a faithful, a good Christian. There are so many things. People can hurt you. People can wound you. Things can fail. Financial this, health this, all this stuff. Paul is saying, if you don't exercise on some things, the word of God, starting with, you might not be able to handle the trials and the things that come to gradually make you a religious person rather than a transformed Christian. You can be coming to church and you're just beating the air. You're just coming, you're just wasting time. There is no change because there's no exercise. And Paul says, we can all come to church, but we might not all win that prize. I want to show us a few things. What do we exercise? What do we exercise? Remember, we talked about the three major areas of training is to mature believers so they can see their need to work for God in their areas and to build the kingdom. What are the areas that we need to exercise? Ever since I discovered this, I want you to open to Matthew chapter 6. I found out that God is very intentional and is very wise. The first thing Jesus did when he came, I want you to watch. This is God came in the flesh. And the first thing he did as he came into ministry, he started teaching about the kingdom of God. And then he started in Matthew chapter 5, he shared the principles of the glory of the kingdom and the benefits that comes with it. And he did a few comparisons between religious and kingdom expectation. Then when he came to Matthew chapter 6, he started outlining some of the principles that you exercise by faith in the kingdom. And then in 7, he started showing you the fruit of those who exercise and those who did not exercise. And he likened them to somebody who built his house on the sand, somebody who built his house on a rock. And he says, those who exercise, the word is those who practice. Those who really practice. He says, when trials come, their muscle is there. The muscle is there. Nothing. The wind will come. All this. Say, because they have exercised their faith. They now have something on the inside. They know who they serve, who they are, and what they believe. The trials will come and go. They win. Say, but those who don't exercise, but they are beating the air. In other words, they have all the lingos of Christianity in their mind. They know all the scriptures. He says, the only thing that exposes where they are trials. And you know the story. But, so what are the things he says? After five, he talks about this is the kingdom and how you access it. Six, he talks about the things to practice. No matter what small level, practice. He said, when you do these things, leave God to do the rest. When you plant a seed in the ground, you don't go and decide how the seed, what happens for that seed to grow. That's the same thing with the kingdom. If you do what God says to do, let God manifest the fruit how it should be. Exercise. Another word for exercise is a lifestyle of obedience to the word of God. Now, these things I'm about to read to you about exercising the principles of the kingdom, there's a muscle. See, in the flesh, in the natural tongue, isn't it? In the natural, when you do exercise, you build natural muscles. Okay, you build natural muscles. Natural muscles don't mean you just have to have muscle like that. You know, you build strength, you build vigor. Amen? You build it natural. Do you know what you build when you exercise these things of the kingdom? Faith. Faith, everybody. The kingdom of God only operates by faith. Period. Hebrews 11 says, without it, no connection to heaven. No kingdom connection. No kingdom influence. Without faith, it's impossible to please or walk. The reason is faith is because you cannot see God with your naked eyes. So anything with God has to be by faith. Period. So this exercise is practicing to walk by faith. And when you practice it, you gradually begin to know somebody that you don't see with your eyes. You gradually begin to believe somebody. Somebody you don't see, you begin to believe in more than what you see. But it takes exercise. But if you don't exercise, something happens. You know what happens? When you have not exercised, when things happen, you call the people you see. You cry out to people you see. You call out to the government you see. All the things happening in this world, Paul says, the problem is not flesh and blood. They are spiritual world. So if you don't exercise these things, you will not understand what faith is. So the first thing God teaches every believer to exercise is faith. The first thing he taught them when they came out of Egypt, he says, I could take you through any other way, but I want you to come through the wilderness. Why the wilderness? I want you to trust me. I'll be giving you things. I will do things for you, but I want you to be learning to call me, learning to come to me in the wilderness. But many of them refused to exercise. And so they didn't have the faith to get their promise. Amen? But those who exercise their faith, Paul says, I want to be those who finish. Joshua and Caleb finish. They exercise. They exercise. And they were able to get their promise. But those who didn't exercise, the Bible says, they could not get their promise because they had no faith, unbelief. So how do we exercise faith? So that, because through faith, we can do anything. How do we? Because we already have a measure of faith. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, it wasn't anybody else, God told us the areas we are to exercise little by little and watch what God does. Do you know the first thing he said? The first thing after Jesus talked about the kingdom, number one, he says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest give alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say to you, they have their reward. But when you doest alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That your alms. The first thing, this is a school. We can break that down. Giving is literally have A, B, C, D, E. What Jesus is saying here is, he made it clear after this teaching, he says, the heart is what God is dealing with. The first area God dealt with the heart is money. He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. He says, if you cannot give towards helping people, and the church is called to do that, we are all called to that. If you cannot give towards the work of the kingdom or towards helping people, where is your heart? Because he says, where your treasure is, says the thermometer of your heart is guided by what you do with money. Why is he saying that? Because the God of this world is money. Everybody depends on money. If you want doctor money, if you want this money, if you want that money. Money is the exchange for life in the earth. Mike Jones has a whole teaching on that. Money. But the church, God is everything. Every other thing is a means, but God is everything. And the only way you access God is faith. So God says to the children of Israel, come out of Egypt, come through this process, the way you trust me. The first thing God says, you're giving. Measure where your heart is. Then number two, giving has to also do with giving of yourself in the things of the service of God. Volunteering to help people, to do things. Anything that denies you of yourself. You can't just jump into it. You have to do it small. Amen? Some of us can't host visitors in our house yet. We think we love people. Let them come and live with you for a few days. You find out how much you love them. Amen? That's a big thing. But let's begin at least to love people in church. Hey, it's good to see you. We're not doing that. We just come. And we sit in our regular, I come here and just come and sit right here. Let's start somewhere. The Bible says, love one another. Give up yourself. It takes you to give up something to tell somebody, how is your day going today? The person says, you know, I'm not feeling well today. You have a responsibility in your hand. So most people don't want to say, how are you doing today? Because if you really mean how you're doing today, and they tell you how they are doing, what are you going to do about it? So people have to be fake. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm fine. Wonderful. Because I know you're not going to do anything about it. Let's start somewhere. Amen? Amen. We can go on and give. The next one Jesus talked about, prayer. My brothers and sisters, prayer. Prayer has been defined by religion. And that's why prayer looks like we are carrying a load on us. Prayer looks like you're asking me to go dig the ground or build a house. Prayer should be David says, as the deer is panting for water, so I long to be in your presence. Prayer is nothing but a desire to be in the presence of God. However way you do it, the bottom line for prayer is just being in the presence of God. If you see prayer as that, it takes a lot of the weight and the laws. Amen? Prayer is worship. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is fellowshipping. Prayer is, you see how easy, and our mom and our parents, easy wants to be around our parents all the time. They want to talk, they want to chat. If anything comes up, you want to discuss, that's prayer. If you don't start practicing it, to do it with somebody you don't see, it's not going to work. That's why it's faith. You don't see God. So you have to practice little ways of the presence of God. Then the third one is, this is practice now, exercise. The third one is fasting. When God tells you to fast, we can go through a whole curriculum of why we fast. But if God tells you to fast, the most powerful weapon against strongholds, against all this junk that we carry from the world, is a life of fasting. When I first started fasting, if I fast one day, it looks like I'm going to die. It looks like I'll just die. Fast without water, and then don't eat. My flesh was saying, you are finished. If you don't feed me for this whole day, I'm giving you up. Amen? That's how you feel. I'm looking at the time. Is it time yet? Is it time yet? That is what God has ordained to purge the soul, to humble pride, to break things you don't see, to deliver us from so much junk that is attached to self. Fasting, Isaiah talks about that. Amen? So God is saying, practice little. When he came after that one day, I started doing 3 days, 7 days, before the thing started growing. And later fasting, I want to fast when God is not leading me to fast. Until God says, no, you have to be led by the Spirit. Because I'm now desired, I just love it so much. One time, my jaw, my head was inside. Because I was fasting too much. I loved it. But when I started, it was hard. I'm very fat right now. Before, I was not riding a bicycle because I felt the wind would just carry me. But I was free on the inside. Amen. That's number three, exercise. Number four, which is number one, is the word of God. The word of God. My brothers and sisters, if you don't meditate, if you don't study the word, Psalms 1, Joshua chapter 1, God said the success for spiritual life is in the word of God. This word is literal right now. Study it. But as you study it and you practice these other things I told you, this word will not just be letters anymore. God becomes real to you. My brothers and sisters, the word has all the information you need. All the wisdom, all the guidance, all the direction. For time, these four principles of exercise, studying the word, giving, fasting, prayer. If you will just exercise, Paul says, these things, just like you plant a seed in the ground, they will make you. Eventually, your faith muscle will grow until you are a man and a woman of faith. And you start understanding your purpose, that everything you do is for the glory of God, work of the ministry. And you start seeing the need to influence, to empower, to help other people get to where God is taking them. That's maturity. That's working for God. That's building the body of Christ. All this is out of practice, discipline. Amen? Amen. And God does the rest. So the Lord wanted me to share with you that as hard as it is to exercise in the physical, even though we need it so bad, it takes making a decision to discipline ourselves. It's very hard for me, but I go in there. Kizaya will come there to see me. I took my weight. Joel left it there when he left. I take it and I exercise. I exercise. And now I enjoy the refreshing and the freedom. It's all this. I can't do that before. Amen? Exercise. Amen. So I want to challenge you. If Paul said, the things of this world can trip me. Unforgiveness can trip me. People can hurt you. And you don't know how to exercise forgiveness. Things can happen to you. You don't know how to exercise trust in God. Waiting for God's time. Doing this. And before you know it, you are taken out of the way. But you're in church. That's what happens to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, because they are so sad. Amen? Amen. I think the reason God brought so much humor to this message is because we need to exercise. Amen? Nobody likes to do it, but we need to do it. And God is calling every one of us to a spiritual life, to be a disciple. If you heard what the Lord is saying today, you understand it in your own special language. I'm going to ask one or three people. Amen? What did you receive today? And what are you going to do about it? I will let somebody volunteer to release us from the pressure of me asking you. If nobody volunteers, then I will ask. Who would like to volunteer to tell me, what did you get today and what are you going to do about it? If nobody volunteers, then I'll ask somebody. Anybody wants to volunteer? Okay. All right, Marianne.
I really appreciated the simplicity of what you said about prayer. The enemy likes to come and accuse me about my prayer life. And I know it's not on God's part, it's, you know, but just you go there by faith and you're in his presence, to be in his presence. And then you explain, you know, I mean, there are ways to pray. But anyway, I appreciate your remarks and I wrote them down.
Okay, anybody else? Very good. Anybody else? Okay, I'm gonna ask one person here and one person here. Everybody's feeling tense now. Okay, I'm gonna ask. What did you get from me? And what are you gonna do about it?
Well,
no, go ahead.
Well, what I got out of it is that we won't learn unless we exercise and practice. And what we have to do is we have to study more. And we have to apply it to what we do daily. So by doing that, we have to practice and then go out and tell somebody else about what we're practicing to get them to practice and get them to understand. But most of all, what I got out of it is that we can be deceived if we don't practice the word of God, easily be deceived by the devil.
Very good. Thank you very much.
I'm going to practice.
Amen. 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 Okay. Let somebody volunteer here to free the pressure here. Good. It saved all of you. So, go ahead.
So what I got out of this was at the very beginning of the sermon, saying that an empty mind is very susceptible to manipulation is kind of what I've got out of it. If you don't fill your mind with what is true and what is good, that is the word of God and what he speaks over you, then you are very susceptible to the ways of the world and the ways of the enemy.
Amen. That's very good. Amen. Amen. Now, this is your first time here. Let's clap for her even more. A first time guest sharing with us what she learned. Amen. You want to say something? She invited them. See, she's practicing. She's practicing. Two people, she's practicing evangelism. Evangelism, she's practicing it. Amen? Amen. Who else? The last person. The last person. The last person. Oh, very good. That's the coach. So let's hear from the coach's perspective.
So just being a coach and understanding athletics and sports and training the physical body, so relating that to the spiritual training, having to be disciplined, having to have enough willpower to spend that time in prayer, to have willpower to fast, the other two points I'm trying to come up with. I didn't write them down. Shame on me. What were the other two? So fasting, prayer. Studying the word. Yes. So having that willpower and taking the time to do it, because just like the physical body, we will waste away physically. We'll waste away spiritually as well if we don't.
Amen. Take that serious from a coach. Amen. 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 So, one of the first things, love is very easy to practice. As we live today, let at least one person greet at least 8 people before they leave. That's love one another. Amen? Is that too much to start with? Or 5? Greet 5 people? Let's start with 5 people before you leave. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your word. Father, you said it's better to give somebody food to eat than to be praying about food when we have it. What is easier? Give the hungry food to eat than just too many words. Even now you're calling us, just do it. Do the little things. Practice it. And watch you develop our lives. Father, thank you for bringing us a life of commitment, faithfulness, sacrificial giving. We thank you so much, Jesus, for what you've done for us. Help us to practice to serve you and to love you even more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.